So with us today, we have someone that we totally admire. We were drawn into her Instagram and fell in love immediately. I think she, Viv, would you agree she's more than a pretty picture on Instagram? I mean, I love everything from the travel tips to even the shout outs for people to just contact her direct if they're traveling and they need a bit of advice.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a really informative page. And I love the way you do the Q&As for people to ask about traveling. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's great. So that's why we wanted to bring her on board, because at The Life Hustle, we want to show different careers, people carving out different paths and people really doing their own thing and flying their own flag and doing it really well. And Stephanie Barry, who was born in Cork, but she is now spreading her wings and travelling, is on the line with us here for a lovely chat at The Life Hustle today. Thanks for joining us, Stephanie.
Oh, that's such a nice intro. Thank you, guys. I'm really glad to be on the podcast today.
Wow, thank you. 16 countries in 27 months.
Wow.
We hate you. That's amazing.
It's been busy.
What's been your favourite place to visit?
You know, everybody asks that, and I always find it really hard to answer, because I've spent most of the time in Asia, a bit in Australia and New Zealand, but I feel like I just love Asia so much, so it's always really hard for me to pick a country.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's too hard. I love them all. I think we spent most of our time in Thailand, so that's the country we gravitate back to whenever we're a bit stressed out or something bad happens. We always end up heading back to Thailand because it's somewhere where we can, like, things make more sense. And
your happy place.
Yeah, it's our like Asian home.
And tell me, so you, we remember you from the modelling days here in Cork. You were a Miss Cork and you were very highly booked and great model back in the day. After you finished college, to backtrack a bit, tell us, where did you go from college?
I graduated from BIS in UCC, and I wanted to go working in London in an investment bank. But
okay.
I took a year out in between. Well, it wasn't exactly a year out. It was a year of working to pay off my college loans, really, before I left for London, because the modelling was going quite well in Cork and I didn't really want to leave it. And so I worked three jobs in between finishing up in uni and heading to London.
This is one thing that I love to hear, because, you know, on Instagram now, on Facebook, Twitter, across social media, you know, you see kind of the great side of life for so many people, but we don't really hear the grafter stories. People who are doing really well in general have worked very hard to get there. And I love that part of the story that, you know, from a young age, you were out there paying your own bills, you know, you were independent, you'd moved abroad and you were working hard.
Yeah, like, I think a lot of people think that my parents just pay for everything. I don't do anything but travel. And my dad bankrolls everything, pretty much. So, like, a lot of people will say that, but the truth is, like, I came out of college. I owed, like, 4,000 or 5,000 euro, which wasn't a huge amount, but I really wanted to pay it off. And I worked weekends, bank holidays and evenings in an IT help desk. And then I worked during the days archiving in Pfizer.
Wow.
and then any other evenings I had free, I'd do a press call or a show or something. So I'd be at my job in Pfizer in the break, having our tea break in the morning, and people would be reading the paper, and it would be me at a show or something with the people I was working with, probably. They're like,
brilliant.
So it was a bit like a crazy year, but I got everything paid off, and then I went off to London and I started working in an investment bank there. On a graduate scheme.
And tell us,
really nice.
We are totes in love with Tim. How did you meet him?
We met at work, actually.
Oh, that's so lovely. That was a real Cork. Oh. So you eloped, you got married.
We did. We got married in France about three years after we met.
Wow. And I loved how you said in your Insta stories that, you know, when you got married, that your mum was like, oh, phew, she's going to come home now, settle down, have the babies, and boom, you decided to travel.
Yeah, I think my mum's earmarked the house next door for us to move into since we got married. She's always prepared for us to come home and have babies. But I think she thought our plan to travel, and I think everybody around us thought, okay, I know you say double traveling now, but get the waiting out of the way and then see how you feel, you know, and then you might feel, you know, like buying a house and having children. And I don't think anyone believed it was going to happen until we booked our flights, really.
Yeah, I think there's such a pressure just, you know, to get married, get the house, have the babies. And like, it's not for everyone.
No, you know, no. And you'd nearly be afraid to you know, say that you're not going to follow a conventional path or, you know, it's strange, isn't it? But there are so many people, maybe the internet has opened our minds up to there being much more of a world out there to explore.
That's the positive side of it, you know, seeing people like you married, heading off, and there's no age limit to travel.
Yes.
Like, I hope when my boys are bigger that I'll be hopping on a jet plane and doing all the travel.
Yes, you know, that.
Again.
Yeah.
I think that's really right, because I think that, like, before, it's like a lot of people wanted to buy houses and have kids immediately, and that was just, it seemed to do, and it was the norm. And if you wanted to travel, it wasn't the norm, and people would kind of think, I don't know, it was kind of the wrong thing to do, I guess. It was a bit weird. But now I think people are a bit more used to it, to the point where like the people who actually want to get houses and have kids feel like they're doing something wrong. They should be traveling. So I feel like in a way it's kind of flipped.
And you know, when you're in your early 20s, like, it's just like, how are you meant to know what you want to be for the rest of your life?
Exactly.
More power if you do. But like, you know, there's a lot of life experience to be had.
And Steph, are you both very organized people? Like, would you be goal setters, or did one of you drive the dream to travel for a while?
I think we're very different people in that sense. Like, we both wanted to go away. We both, like, always wanted to just quit our jobs and leave without a plan. But Tim, like, hates planning trips. He cannot stand it. He never does it. He works himself up into this stress ball, thinking he has to find like the best flight and like the perfect hotel.
Okay.
And like, he hates it. So I kind of look like, it's a hobby, I think, at this point now for me. So I love it. And I plan everything pretty much.
I think we're better at that though. I think female.
Yes, high five to that. We're doers. Yeah. And that's good, because there's a bit of yin and yang. So for the two of you, you probably complement each other in those ways.
Yeah, he takes care of the practical things, like the, you know, travel insurance and all
the boring stuff
we've got to do, and all the practicalities, he's all on top of them. And then I'll be like, ooh, you know, let's go to Japan tomorrow, I've booked it. And then
I love it.
I'm that one.
That's brilliant. I love it. The first lessons you both learned traveling, like, what were kind of the, I guess, when you were starting out, first of all, where did you go first from London?
Mm-hmm.
And what were the kind of first lessons you learned along the way?
We flew from London down to Bangkok, to Thailand, and then we went to Myanmar pretty quickly. And I think we learned that we should probably choose a less adventurous country if we were starting on a big trip. We were really stressed out from planning all our parties for leaving and say goodbye to everyone. And we were thrown into a country where the infrastructure is not very good and people don't really speak English at all. And the food's completely different, and it was 40 degrees every day. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah, I think if I could do it again, I'd probably stay in Thailand and go maybe Vietnam, Cambodia straight away and have a bit of warmth.
Have you been to Vietnam and Cambodia?
Yeah, I didn't go to Cambodia. Yeah, but I did Vietnam and I absolutely loved it. And just like you, like, Asia really drew me in. Like, we went away for a year and we spent a bit of time in Australia, but I was just drawn back to Asia. It's just so much more relaxed and it's just
definitely
a special place, isn't it? Like Chiang Mai, and we worked our way up to Vietnam. And then, like, you just got a notion and got a flight to Singapore and did Bali then after that. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
And
that's a lovely trick.
That's where you are at the moment. You arrived in Bali a couple of months back, is that right?
We did, yeah. We arrived there about a month ago, about 6 weeks ago, and decided to stop there for the year and get a place to live.
Fab.
It looks magical there. It looks so, so beautiful. You know, with all the places that you've been to, what has been out of the countries the biggest kind of culture shock? Which place?
India, definitely. Wow.
Viv, you were there as well, weren't you?
Yeah,
in India?
I have to agree. Yeah, we had this dream. It was our first holiday together. Yeah. And yeah, it was a major culture shock. It's pretty special as well. And the people are fabulous. But one minute you're holidaying on a beach and it's beautiful. And then you're driving through the slums like a few hours later. So yeah. It's a tough one.
I think if you go there, you have to prepare to just cry. Mm-hmm. And, like, ring your parents saying, like, I'm going to leave.
I know.
It's so different. But then you spend more time there and you figure it out. And I loved it by the time I left. But yeah. It was, you have to just throw away everything that you usually think or do. And you have to just go with the flow there. Mm-hmm. It's so different.
And what's your game plan when you land in a new place?
I tend to have a list. On my phone when I make it on the plane usually, and I usually have a guidebook, and I just pick out the things I really want to see, and I have a list of things I want to go to, and I usually have the way you can save things on Instagram now.
You can which, sorry?
You can save a picture on Instagram now. You can pin it, yeah. I think you can.
Yes.
Save it down. So I save pictures of places I really like, and then I put them all into different albums, and then I basically just, like, when I'm going to a country, I go to the album and see what things I want to go to.
Wow. That actually makes me feel really bad, because I save them just because I think they're beautiful, but you save them and actually follow through and go there. So I'm just going to go now, goodbye. Like, you know, those little tips, there must be so many good apps are there out there that you can use when traveling.
There are a good few, but there aren't as many as you think. I think I pretty much use Instagram. Apart from trying to book things, I use Instagram for everything else, like finding places to go, finding out what the weather's like, because it's really hard to trust the forecast in Asia.
Okay.
So I look up where I want to go on Instagram, and I find the most recent pictures that were taken there. And then I see what the weather is like in the background of all the pictures.
Wow, that's super.
It's a really handy way to find out if the weather is actually good or bad somewhere.
So do you just go in through a hashtag, is it? And like check?
You can look up a location.
That's brilliant. Mm-hmm. That's so good.
And Steph, I often think by looking at, you know, a couple travelling abroad, like, do you find it hard not having your circle of friends and family around you? And do you drive each other crazy sometimes?
Yeah, that's definitely the hardest bit, is not having our friends and family around us. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the worst bit. It's the bit that makes you really want to stop sometimes and just come home, because you meet people, but you're having the same conversations over and over again.
Yeah.
Where have you been? And I've been here too. And where are you going? And what's your plan? And sometimes you just want to go for a drink with someone and not talk about.
I know.
Because somebody knows you. So, that's a really tough part of it.
Yeah, so you're torn between travels and spending time at home. So what's your five-year plan? Like, how long more can you see yourself traveling?
We don't have a five-year plan. So, which I think you can probably guess if you're ever looking at my Instagram, but we don't know. I think we have money put aside, and say, you know, if anything goes wrong, we can always come back home and find somewhere to live. But I'd ideally want to travel for as long as
we
can.
What strikes you most about the differences, say, in our society here at home to other continents that you've been lucky to visit?
I think the difference I find between Asia and being more really in London, because I spent a bit longer in London before I left.
Okay.
So I had 6 years there. But probably people's priorities, I guess, is probably the main thing. Mm. Because it's very much focused on, like, work, promotion, family, but not like family, but I mean like weddings and having kids and timelines, I guess.
Okay.
Back in London and in Asia, people are way less focused on what you do as a job. People don't ask that, mm-hmm. really, whereas it's one of the first things you get asked back home.
Wow. Yeah, it's kind of refreshing, isn't it? They just, you know,
live in the now.
Yeah, they just want to provide for their families, and it's just all about having the family unit together, really, isn't it?
It's just about really, like, having enough, mm-hmm. and not having more, it seems mm-hmm. to be the way. So you have enough to make you happy. You know, if you have money to put a roof over your head and food and to do what you need to do to make you happy, then that's enough. Whereas I felt like back, the one thing that drove us out of London was just the fact that we kind of felt we were on this treadmill of, like, get the next promotion, earn more money, you know, buy a house, get a bigger house. And I didn't like that, being on that race, I guess.
Yeah,
that's really interesting. That's actually really interesting to hear, because I guess we are in a culture where every time we open a newspaper, turn on the TV, turn on the news, it's about, you know, the housing crisis and jobs. Mm. And, you know, it's like this, the focus, I guess it all comes back to money, which is hugely important, mm-hmm. obviously, if you want to stay alive and live a life.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, you know, it's interesting to hear that different cultures put different values in order, as opposed to how we kind of prioritize things here. And I guess there's a little lesson in that for us. You know, I think everyone is, I think we should just maybe, you know, be doing, like, the cool thing about you guys is that you're doing your own thing and you're mm-hmm. not really worrying about, you know, what people might think of it. And in fact, as a result, as you can see online, loads of people are gravitating towards you because it's refreshing to follow your Instagram. It's exciting. It's interesting. For us, it's a bit of escapism, but also it helps us kind of go, oh, you know, have I got a trip planned? Should I be doing some of this? And, you know, it kind of makes you stop and look and say, there's a whole world outside of your everyday problems that you can get caught up in. And, you know, maybe going the conventional yeah. route isn't what we all have to do.
That's it. Because I don't have my page to say, you know, what are you doing with your life? You should be traveling, or saying what I'm doing is the right thing, you know, to do. But it's really just to say, like, I didn't come from a lot of money. I kind of worked and I saved to do what I'm doing.
Brilliant.
If I can do it, you know, why can't you do it too? I kind of talk a lot about how much I pay for things and how cheap things can be. Or I spend so much of my time trying to get, like, the cheapest flights and trains and hotels and stuff to share them with people, because there's too many Instagram pages out there of people who travel. And you look at the places they're staying and they're, like, thousands of pounds a night.
Mm.
And
do you think they might be sponsored or...?
Yeah.
Okay.
100%. Mm. I think you meet people even and they say that we're nomad couples who don't have a home and we don't do anything, and then they stay in places in Bali that are hundreds a night, and you just think, like, I'm a backpacker couple with a nomad couple, and I can't afford that. Like, there's no way you can afford things like that if you don't. You know,
and have you had anyone reach out to you yet? Because if I had a brand, I think you'd be the first person I'd go to stay in my place yeah. abroad.
You know, I've had people say about places that I'm at right now, and I wasn't planning to go to, but I haven't had any. We pay for everything. We haven't had any free stays anywhere. And I'm kind of not keen to do it, I guess, unless yeah. it's affordable for people who follow me.
Sure. And that's lovely to hear your ethos behind the page, because that comes across how authentic it is. Come here, what advice, Stephanie, would you give, say, to somebody who thinks maybe they're too old to travel, or they're in a career that maybe they're not feeling very passionate about and they'd really like to go, but they're just maybe afraid to take that step?
I think what people don't really realise is that it's scary for everybody who goes and everyone who's gone. And it's terrifying and it's normal to be really afraid to go. Because I think people will say, assume that we went off and we weren't that afraid and we're very adventurous. But it was really tough. It took a long time for us to go. We probably planned it about 2 years before that. So I'd say to anyone at all, I would say, stick to your guns. If it's what you want to do, you should do this. And what the first thing I'd say to do is to take a day, even if it's like a year, 2 years, 3 years, to pick that day and say, I'm going to go on that day. And with ours, it shifted by maybe a month, I think. But we kind of locked in that date and we focused on it. And then every single thing that we did between the 2 years and the date we decided to go, we put every decision we made was focused on that date. You know, the money we saved, how often we saw our friends, the things that we bought, the jobs we took, everything was just going towards the date. We told everyone we were doing it. I would say that would be my advice to anyone who wants to do it.
And Steph, are you working along the way?
We are. We work. In Australia, we went there on working holiday visa. And we did the same job I did in London, pretty much. And now I freelance in IT. Me and Tim both do that while we're in Bali.
That's brilliant.
So amazing you can travel the world while you work. That is just the dream. I mean, I'm sure it's not easy.
Though, when you want to go to the beach and you've got a project.
Okay.
It's all about the balance.
I know. Oh, my goodness. And tell me, with visas and that, as you've been travelling, have you encountered any difficulties getting in or out of any countries?
There's one thing that we didn't realise before was that for a lot of the countries, you need to have an outgoing flight booked to get into the country.
Okay.
And you won't often find out until you're at the check-in desk with about 10 minutes left to check in if you're going to make a flight. But I wrote like a post on my site about all visas in Asia and about all the countries.
That's so informative. Because that they're the challenges that people come across, you know, because people can be quite raw when they go travelling and they really don't have a clue.
Yeah,
there's so much we've learned, like that we didn't know at all before we left.
Brilliant. And so you're heading back to Bali soon, and what's the plan from there, or do you have one?
Our plan right now is just go back to Bali. There's a few things that we're working on at the moment, so we just want to stay in one place for them. We're going to travel as much as possible, so there's a few countries that we want to go back to that we didn't get to see enough.
Stephanie, it's been so lovely to talk to you. We love following your adventures. We think you and Tim are absolutely, you're total legends. So best of luck on your travels, safe trip, and please put up as much content as you can as you go, because we all love it here and we love following you. So that is the end of our episode. Thank you for chatting to us at The Life Hustle.
Thanks, Stephanie. Best of luck.
Thank you so much. You're so good. So talking to Stephanie there has been so much fun, actually. And it's kind of made us think about our own time travelling. I never really got the bug to do the Australia thing like you. I had the sensible job. And
yeah, you know, it's not for everyone. And honestly, if you don't have 10 grand in your pocket, Australia is just like being at home.
Okay.
Because you have to get on the tube in the morning. You have to go to the office or, work. It's so expensive.
So you're
there.
Just basically like going out on a Saturday night, having
exactly.
fun.
Yeah.
With loads of Irish people, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I avoided the Irish bars like the plague. It was chaos.
I'm the one then on holidays who has to, like, when the week or the fortnight's out, have to go to the Irish pub.
You're
just
joking.
For the bit of diddly idle doodle and the laugh. Yeah. Such a loser.
I know. It's actually so funny. Like, Sydney became just this hub of Irish people, like guys walking around in their jerseys and their black socks on the beach, which was my biggest. So I think, Australia's a bit kind of home from home, unless you have loads of money. Now, I loved the weekends, you know, and travelling up the East Coast and
did
doing
you
loads
save
of trips.
When you were in Australia, did you save and then do Asia or Asia on the way? I can't remember.
We did a bit of Asia on the way. We did Bangkok and went down to Thailand and spent a bit of money and went over and got, you know, then you have to get like an apartment, which is kind of hard to get, you know, because you're trying to house share with other people get a lease and all that kind of serious stuff.
It's a really nice way though to immediately make friends wherever you end up.
It is. Yeah, exactly.
Once they're not psychos.
Yeah. And that can happen. And you know, like a lot of the houses over there are not in great condition. And yeah,
it's student life, really.
It is exactly that. Yeah. Unless you just have, you meet rich friends.
If we were to go now, like, you know, still in our 30s for the record.
Yes.
But if we were to go now, I suppose, like, we would have more money and we would, not a lot more, but we have careers now. So we would probably pick slightly nicer places.
Exactly.
Or we'd probably have the wherewithal, like Stephanie said, to look online and really fish out
research.
Good places to stay for good money.
Exactly. But I definitely think Asia, like, we wouldn't. And spent 3 months then travelling around between Thailand, Vietnam, Singapore and Bali. And that was just amazing.
And you did it single, didn't you?
Yes, like, definitely.
Would you advise that it's best for at that phase of your life?
I suppose for me, it was my mid-20s and it was definitely a time to just go explore by yourself and just find yourself.
still trying to find ourselves here.
Exactly.
If you find me, tell me.
Yeah. And we've met couples along the way and it's great, you know, if you can get along with somebody and, you know.
Because Stephanie and Tim, like, it just seems the perfect thing for them. Mm-hmm. Like, they just really, it just seems right for them, doesn't
it? Yeah, and they're just on the same page, I guess, you know.
And there must be so many other people out there doing that. Mm-hmm. And so many people afraid to go do it as well.
Yeah.
But What was the biggest kind of challenge for you? Or do you have any memory of like a low point? Like, did you run out of money anywhere?
Oh God, yes. I remember traveling up the East Coast and we got to Brisbane and I remember we had to come up with a deposit for an apartment and I rang my brother, William.
Hi, William.
Yeah, begging for a little transfer over to my bank account. I had spent too much money. yeah, and you know, that's really kind of lonely and you just kind of have a bit of a fear. You're like, oh God.
But isn't that the best life experience then?
Exactly, it is. And you know, I paid him back in time. And yeah, it is like you just, I suppose you're just in this big country on your own and you just have to fend for yourself, which is a little bit scary. Yeah, so that was probably, actually, the reason I needed that money was because we had to move out of one place which was infested in cockroaches.
What? I can't.
And I literally lost my life. Like, it was a shack. It was the worst place you've ever seen. So that definitely wasn't the dream.
If there's a spider at home, I throw Aaron into to kill this. I just can't do it.
I know. Like, no. They're just disgusting. So that was the downside. And yeah, we had to upgrade. And then we got a really cool place with a pool and... Yeah, so it's all the ups and downs. But, you know, another one would have been like, we brought way too much stuff with us.
Oh, like, my goodness.
Yeah, it was insane. Like carrying a backpack with hair dryers hanging out and like
and you're going to like 40
over.
Degrees heat.
Exactly.
And you have no hair. Hello.
Yeah. Like looking back now, I'm like, how foolish were we bringing all that stuff?
I love it.
You spent a summer in Greece, didn't you?
Yeah, myself and two of my friends, Sandy Waugh, she's out there in Ballincollig, and Lucy Feely, who we still holiday together. We have caravans and alleys in West Cork. But we headed off when we were, I think, 18 going on 19. So we were real babies, of course. We thought we were like taking
that
over the world.
That was a big deal
like,
then, yeah.
Yeah, we kind of didn't think twice about it. Everyone in college was doing the States on visas. And we just kind of, you know, the paperwork wasn't for us. And we just went, come on, let's go there. I think someone we knew had been there the summer before, a group of Cork people. So it just sounded amazing. So we went over and you couldn't book your accommodation before you went. You just arrived. You got the ferry from Athens. So you can imagine three young Cork girls kind of wide-eyed,
so
all excited. We arrived on, it was like a, I think was it like a 20-hour ferry at the time, and you couldn't fly onto the island. So we'd get the ferry from Athens and we were literally on a ferry with cattle. Like, I was like, this is not the dream I dreamt. Like, and there was no...
This is not the Grease that's in the movies.
No. And back then there was no, thankfully, there was no social media because I would die if there was any evidence of us. Actually, I'm like, I wasn't into taking pictures at all at the time, but Lucy does have some pictures.
No way.
But I am forever paying her to never, ever let those hit the public.
They need to be
domain.
Released.
But the worst thing that happened to us, I think, so we got over there and... when you get to the port, everyone has signs up for you to stay in their accommodation and to book their apartments. So we just kind of went with a room in this orchard. It's called Bobby's Garden. Anyone who's been to Paros will have heard of it or stayed there at some stage. It was absolutely epic. It was five rooms around an orchard.
Wow.
This little bockety wooden table in the middle and one communal kitchen. And the guy and his wife who owned it, he used to be around in his underpants with a rifle shooting birds out of the trees. It was just like a dream when I think of it now. It was such a crazy time. But... at any stage of the day, like we were the Irish in one room, there was Australians in another, Dutch in another.
So cool.
So like there was always someone having a glass of whiskey at the table in the morning that had been out the night before or, you know, someone cooking in the kitchen. It was lovely. We'd immediate friends there.
Brilliant.
But like that, we didn't have any life skills. So it was a really good
summer.
But we
didn't really appreciate the freedom, you know.
Like, so true.
Nobody on you, nowhere to be.
I know.
Like how
we just went to the
amazing.
Beach.
Like, and you didn't have to work all summer, did you?
No, it was so cheap over there. It was like, I don't know, the equivalent of $150 a night for the accommodation. It was quite poor there.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I'd say we probably only had about 500, 600 quid each. And I just don't know how we got through the summer. But we took a job at one stage giving out flyers on the beach. And you had to But like for us, it was just walking all day across like 5 or 6 beaches. Wow. Sure, it was like the dream. And then we were like, oh God, we're exhausted from this. Ditched the flyers and gave it up because it was so cheap there.
I hope you had your Factor 50. You must have been scalded.
The girls were like so tanned and like amazing. And I was just white and freckly and tall and Irish. Lanky. I was like, see the Irish girl? There she. And people used to come up to me going, hey, Irish, you need to get a tan.
No way.
There was no sun shimmer then at all.
Talking about sun shimmer, actually, on the way back from year of travelling, Mags, my travel buddy, literally in London Stansted or Gatwick, she was in boots buying tan, rubbing it onto her legs so that she wouldn't have to arrive so white in Cork Airport with me, because I had actually gone.
Do you remember the colour of you?
Like, it was insane.
There is a
mahogany
picture. Let's put the picture up, if you don't mind. Let's put the picture up when this podcast goes out of you at the event with us when you came home. We did the launch of Independence.
Exactly.
And I can't even see you in the picture. It's like a nighttime shot and there's like teeth and eyes.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, my tan is fading. Like, I need to get back to Cork with my tan. And poor Mags was rubbing sun shimmer onto her legs. God love her.
Oh, they were such good times, like.
I know.
But the worst for us, I think, was when we ran out of money. The lowest point for me towards the end was, like, it was so good over there that I didn't pass accounting in college. I was in CIT. And when I rang to find out my results, my mum was like, so you failed accounting. You'll have to come back in August to repeat it. And I was like, nope, see you later.
Oh my God.
She was like,
insane.
What are you talking about? You have to repeat it. And I was like, no, I'm in Greece. Like, why would I come home? Here. This place is paradise. See you later. I'll worry about that. Like, whenever.
Who needs accounting anyway?
Like, I don't even know how I'm working. Anyway. How irresponsible. But when we did run out of money towards the very end, at our lowest point, and we still laugh about it, we went into the communal kitchen and there was like a bag that we genuinely thought was pasta hanging up in the wall. And you know when you're traveling, you have your name on things.
Yeah.
Because like your 10 euro shop is like so precious to you. Well, we kind of went in at night time. We were so hungry. So we like boiled up the pasta from the bag, like half of it. And the three of us were like snorting, eating it. We were so hungry. Woke up in the morning to one of the English lads, Matt, going, oi, lads, did anyone see the dog food?
Oh, no, Eimear.
They were like bones, but we didn't see in the night, but they were like the shape of bones. And they were grand. They tasted.
You clearly
funny.
Had a few drinks. A
couple of ouzo, glasses of ouzo and a bit of dog food. I'm sure you're
gorgeous. We weren't a bit fussy.
You know, if you were to tell me now that Aaron was going to do that, I'd be like, yeah, no way.
I know.
I'm going with you.
Yeah, no, we need to remember our youth and be cool parents.
I know. Will we ever be cool parents?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we'll try our best anyway.
So, yeah.
Isn't it so easy to forget, though, what you've done? Like when you're so caught up in the busy, you know,
firefighting.
Parenthood and work and everything. And then you look back and you go, God, we really did have a good time in our 20s.
And I think as well, like, luckily I got to travel a bit with work as well. While working for a multinational, they put me back into college, even like I went to college pregnant. So I did many years later make up for not passing that exam. But they had enough faith in me to send me to manage sites in the Nordics. And I remember just like going to Stockholm, say, and just sitting outside a cafe and just watching the world go by on my own. You know, just like doing it on your own.
Yeah.
There's such a liberating feeling from traveling yourself, you know, getting out of your comfort zone, facing the fear and just going.
Yeah, I love being on a plane and, you know, on your own, nice and peaceful and just planning your trip.
Will it ever happen again?
I know. Vegas for a 40th.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. As Stephanie said, we need to set a date and work back from there.
Yeah. Start the manage. Let's do it.
Viv is all about the manage. And you may laugh while you're listening if you have never heard what a manage is. It's when one of your sensible friends collects money on a regular basis from the non-sensible friends so that if you have a night out or an occasion, she then, when you've forgotten about it, comes out like we've been on holidays in Spain and she's like, hey guys, guess what? I'm just going to get a few bottles of wine there and dinner's covered from the manage. And we're like, what?
Was that Marbella?
Yeah.
Because the manage never ended. Like it just went on for the night. It's the best idea ever. Do it with your friends.
Such
and
a good
night
idea.
Out, throw in 20, 30 euros rather than people going, no, I'll get this one. So we had great little times in Marbella as well.
I know. It's so important to have your girl trips. They're good for the soul. And like, especially at this phase of your life, if anyone out there is sitting at home, you know, feeling they're never going to be the same again, they haven't slept in a year or two because they have kids, or, you know, they're just finding it tough, you're still you. Mm-hmm. And it's just a phase, and it exactly. will pass. But it's really important to kind of not get stuck so much in the here and now, and have goals, have dreams, because they can become a reality again someday.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's all about just planning stuff, as you said, and taking the fun times, you know.
So if anyone has any questions for Stephanie, definitely you have got to check out her Instagram. What's her handle for Instagram again?
Steph My Life.
Steph, S-T-E-P-H, my life.
Yeah.
Check it out on Instagram and drop her a line. She's just so, so good with tips and advice. If you are travelling to any of the areas that she's been to, she is absolutely brilliant. So reach out to her. And if you have any questions for us, sure, we are only up during the night doing night feeds and love the old chats
love
online.
The chats.
So yeah, keep us posted. Get in touch with us here through The Life Hustle on Instagram or also on Facebook. And just let us know what you think of these episodes and who you'd like to hear us talk to. We have some super ideas for our next couple of episodes, and we're even going to hopefully do a bit of travelling as yes. well ourselves, and do some podcasts outside of the studio maybe. So exactly. watch out. We could be coming near you soon.
Yes, it's all about keeping it real and interviewing people with real stories that inspire us. So if you want us to interview anybody, let us know.
Yes, we are all about, I think it really came now that you're in the episode with me, Viv. I think it's kind of safe for us to say that this came about because we were at home wondering, oh my God, is my career over because I have a baby and I can't even organize childcare to get out mm-hmm. of the house? I couldn't even
so
get dressed.
Overwhelming.
So overwhelming. Like, I remember not getting dressed till 4 o'clock some days when I first had Erin, and having no sleep for days on end, and really feeling like, you know, nobody told me about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did not realize it was
nobody
going to
warns
be this difficult.
You. Yeah. And I think that's a major thing with parenthood. People don't realize how hard it is. And like, even if you do have a support network, you still, people suffer, you know, in silence because mm-hmm. they feel that they have to be the super mom and that they have to have their, you know,
ducks in a row.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's not always like that. And
that's why I think, like, with The Life Hustle, we used to be talking, saying, you know what, it's fine. It's just a phase. My favorite saying was, and this too shall pass. And mm-hmm. I still say that now. And you have good days, you have crazy days, but it's about like not getting caught up in the small stuff mm-hmm. and realizing that it's all phases and just trying to find the good in everything.
Exactly.
And realizing that just because people's lives might look perfect online, maybe don't focus on their life so much. You know, your life is actually perfect the way it is, and nobody's life is quote unquote perfect mm-hmm. anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And we figured that out from talking to people online. And people, I think, are seeing through, you know, the whole Instagram perfect life now. They're,
yeah.
People are talking out, I think, a bit more about how everybody has their own struggles. And, you know.
And that's what I love, because we do hugely love Instagram. And it's been such a great place to connect with like-minded people. But on the other side of that coin, we have met people who are struggling and who think their lives should be better. They should have, you know, they should look perfect. They should have the perfect job, the perfect life, the perfect house. And nobody does. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it's all, you know, that thing about, it's about the journey. The happiness is in the journey. If you're getting to the destination, I can't remember who said it on a previous podcast. I think it was Rena Buckley. But if you're at the destination, if you get everything, it's over. That's
yeah,
the end.
Exactly. So enjoy the journey, guys.
Yeah. So we look forward to seeing you. Thank you for joining us for episode 6 of The Life Hustle. And we look forward to talking to you next week. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.